my mind and go next year. Especially the way that house looked. Was that house nice? Was it really nice? Did you enjoy it? For what it cost, I hope you really enjoyed it. No, it looked really nice. We decided to rent a house this year instead of doing a whole bunch of different motel rooms, and yes, that way we could have them all together. And yes, anyway, it looked like a really fun time. So before we start here, I got a little funny story for you, just for Will. You know who George Bernard Shaw is? Yes. Winston Churchill. Yes. This is a note that George Bernard Shaw sent to Winston Churchill, and in it he said, "I am enclosing two tickets to the first night of my new play. Bring a friend, if you have one." And here was Churchill's response: "I cannot possibly attend the first night. I will attend the second, if there is one." That's pretty good. Amen. Amen. I told you at the beginning here, you were going to talk about the word uncomfortable a lot. I think God wants us to get out of our comfort zone. The world needs us to get out of our comfort zone. It just seems like it's falling apart, especially here in America. In Matthew 10, verses 7 through 10, Jesus says, "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts. No bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food." So who's ready to go? Jesus just said go. Who's ready to go spread the good news? To go out with no money, barefooted, just the clothes on your back? Are you ready? Go to a strange town. Start knocking on doors. We know we all enjoy that when the Church of Latter-day Saints comes around. Amen. And when somebody finally allows you to come in to share the good news, or allows you to share the good news, then you just invite yourself in and say, "What's for supper?" Because a worker is worthy of his food, right? It says, are you comfortable enough in your relationship with God to do this? Here's one I got for you, because this is kind of how confirmed that maybe I was on the right path when this message came along. But are you comfortable enough in giving a stranger a ride? That's a tough one, isn't it? You know, I speak maybe two or three times a year, and generally during that time, God will drop something on me, and that's kind of what most time is something I need, and this is something that I need, so this is mostly about me today. Hopefully it'll speak to you, but this time, there was nothing. I just didn't feel like he was just anything specific. And finally, I got to the point where I thought, well, I'm going to go back through my archives of my old messages and see if something will trigger, and God will show me what word we're supposed to be talking about today. So it did. And I gave this message about 4 years ago. I've changed it a little bit. But I still wasn't quite sure. And this was on Wednesday of this last week. And that evening I went up to the house, and Betty, she wanted to watch a movie, so we scanned through there and through some Christian films. some of those low-grade Christian films, you know, where the acting is not real good, but they have a great message. And we started watching it. Well, it turned out this movie was all about coming out of your comfort zone, being uncomfortable in what God's asking you to do. So I thought, okay, well, maybe we're on the right track. But I still wasn't sure. But in this movie, there was a gentleman who, through a string of bad luck, and lost his daughter in a car wreck. You know, he come to this town seeking help. Not really a handout, he said. He said he needed a job, but nobody was willing to help him. All the church leaders and all the Christian people in the town were, I'm too busy, you know. Well, God bless you, you know. Go your way, keep well fed and warm, you know, basically is what they were telling him. So he finally goes to the church, and at the end of the service, he asked to speak. And anyway, he just made them uncomfortable. He just asked them if they were really, truly Christian or not. So I thought about that a lot. And then the next morning, there was five people in the church who responded to the pastor's call about stepping out of their comfort zone anyway. And so I'm out here at the church. I come out Thursday morning to water the plants and stuff. And I'm out here on the north end, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watering. And I look up, and I'm spraying water there. And I look up, and it's like there's a guy standing right there. And I don't know where he come from. Anyway, so I get to talking with him. Well, he said he walked from Camargo. His pickup broke down north of Camargo. And somebody in Camargo told him there was a couple of pickups in Leedy for sale. And at the time, I didn't even think about the ones that out here at Wes's, Nita's. And I'm like, I don't know, because he was asking about these pickups across the street over here. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I have nothing to do with that. So he finally got around to asking, if I'd give him a ride back to Camargo. And in the past, I would have said, oh, I'm too busy, or no, I don't have time, you know. And it was just like God was just prompting me right there, just, you know, get out of your comfort zone. Show him who you really are, because he knew I was here at a church, and help him out. So I gave him a ride to Camargo. And that was just kind of my second confirmation on this whole deal. Anyway, and the funny thing is, we get to Camargo, and I said, you want to let out at the quick stop or where at? And he said, oh, just take me to my house. Okay. I said, where is it? And he said, oh, it's 8 miles north of Camargo. And I said, oh, so you live in Visay, actually. So I ended up going almost all the way to Visay that morning. But turned out to be good. But we all want to be comfortable in our relationship with God. Amen. We like that comfort. We like to sit back in a recliner and glass of iced tea and just say life is good. But I think God wants us to get out of that. He wants us to be uncomfortable in our relationship with Him. And I'll share more on that here in just a little bit. But I believe our greatest growth comes when God pushes us out from under our comfort. We have to trust Him more, right? So why don't we? Now, I've just been feeling like, you know, I've just been in a rut. And I just think that's why God has me speaking this message today, is He wants me to out of the rut. I just got way too comfortable. And it's time to do something. You know, like do something that you dread. Is there anything that you dread doing? I'll start. It's public speaking. I hate public speaking. It scares me to death. Like Moses, I'm not eloquent of tongue. I get tongue-tied a lot easy. I have to write everything. I've got everything I want to say written down here today. I could just sit here and read it, and we could probably be done in 5 minutes and go home and eat lunch. But how I wish I could just get up here like some people I see and just go to speaking, and everything they say makes sense. But if I was to do that, we'd probably be a jumbled mess. So that's why I write it down. I told myself one time, I said, one of these days I'm just going to get up here and trust God, not have nothing, no notes, nothing, and see what happens. And during worship, I was thinking about that, and I had a vision of what that would be like. That's what it would be like. And here would be God over here. Say something, you know. But God wants us to open our mouth and speak. Amen. Amen. You know, I talked about, we went and saw the movie Sound of Freedom. Has any more of you been able to see that movie? It's a very good movie. Amen. I watched a video of the guy, I think his name was Tim Ballard, who done it, talking about kind of his journey. And he was talking about the part where he felt like he was supposed to quit his job with the Homeland Security, you know, to go and to save these kids. And basically what he was saying is it made him very uncomfortable because he didn't know what would happen with his family and stuff. You know, and his wife finally told him, she said, well, if that's what God's telling you to do, then that's what you need to do. You need to step out and trust him. Amen. We read there in Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus said, go therefore and preach. Well, I thought this was kind of funny. This is coming from Moses. This is Moses' reply to what Jesus just said. And this is in Exodus 4:10. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, or maybe we could say, oh my God, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I testify. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. God will teach us what to say, but we have to be willing to open our mouth. We can't just come up here and stand and hope that His voice will come through you. Amen. There is no reason not to trust God even when it is uncomfortable. He continued and said in verse 13, but he said, oh my Lord, this is Moses, please send by the hand to whomever else you may send. Don't send me, send Mark Ward. Have Mark Ward get up here and speak again. And when he said that, the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. Don't make God mad. Amen. But it was a good mad. He still used him, right? I was thinking of the first time that I shared the gospel. And I did it by, I guess, by mistake. I really wasn't planning on it. I met a couple of guys on the road, and we stopped and were visiting alongside the road. And I don't know. It was one of those kind of out-of-body experiences, I think, where God just started speaking through me. Actually, that day, he did. And it was funny because it scared them. And while I was speaking, they jumped in their pickup and drove off. and just left me standing there in the middle of the road. And I sat there for a minute, and I was thinking, Lord, what just happened? I mean, why did you let that happen? And it kind of bothered me for a long time. You know, why would God let me do that and be humiliated? Because that's kind of what I felt like. You know, every time I'd run into them, they'd kind of just sidestep me for the longest time. Not anymore, but for the longest time they did. But he finally told me one time, said, you weren't humiliated. That wasn't what happened. What happened was the enemy didn't want them to hear the good news. That's why they fled. But eventually they did. They've heard the good news. Like I said, one of my greatest fears is public speaking. Have I said that before? I keep thinking that if I keep saying that, you know, maybe I'll get over it, but I don't know. The longer I go, the easier it gets, but that's one of my biggest fears, that and being eaten by lions. No, it's true, it's true. I had a dream one time that a lion tried to eat me. It scared me to no end. But anyway, speaking of lions, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11, and he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Daniel stood trembling because he was in the presence of the angel of the Lord, not what he was speaking to him. Do not fear the words God speaks to you. Do not fear the things God asks you to do. Trembling is okay in the presence of God. But do not fear the words. They are good for you. Amen. You know, we're to share the word. Our words have power. Your words, your testimony have power in them. In Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3, it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and who heals all your diseases. Someone needs to hear that today. Someone in your inner circle needs to hear that today. Someone you meet in life needs to hear the good news and the benefits of God. Amen. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus went through that so we could walk through life boldly, confident, strong, mighty, powerful, full of love, mercy, grace, compassion, and able to do anything that he asks of us. Amen. Amen. Now this one I was going to leave out because this one here makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Money. Money, 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 money. Malachi 3, 5 through 12 says, For I am the Lord, I do not change. Remember that. He's the same. From Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. Amen. It's the same God. I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now I want to say this. For the size of our church, we have got a very giving congregation. And I thank you. As the one who takes care of the bills around here, I appreciate it very much. Makes it a whole lot easier when people are willing to give and support the ministry and everything that takes place. Just like this youth camp and your generosity at the auction we had, where we raised a little over $14,000. We were able to pay for the children's camp, the youth camp, a place for them to stay. And I forgot to ask Patricia, but she was supposed to go ahead and register for next year's youth camp. They give us a pretty good discount if we would register at least 15. Then we can add to it if we need. She was going to do that Friday. I hope she did. But it's because of your giving. And if you don't give, I encourage you to something to think about and to do. I know it changed me when I started doing that. I was very tight with my money back in the day. And I remember my first tithe check I ever wrote, I made it come down to the exact penny. Not a penny more. You said 10%, God. I'm giving you this 10%. I'm not going to round it up. Your word's true. Well, here it is, you know. Prove it, and he has multiple times. And I want to say this because we get tied up in this a lot. A lot of people do. They think because I'm tithing that God is going to bless me financially. Yes, he will stretch that 90% and make it work for you better than probably the 100% if you've done it on your own. But the blessings come in all many shapes and forms. When he says he opens the windows of heaven, he doesn't say, I'm going to pour out money. He says, I'll pour out blessings. He goes on to say, we'll finish reading all that. It says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Do not rob God, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Excuse me. And I will rebuke the devourer. That's another great benefit when we bring our tithe and the offerings to the Lord, to the house. He will rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Who needs the devourer rebuked? Man, I do every day. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. Some of the myths surrounding, I've kind of covered a few of them. Some of the myths surrounding tithing offering is that, well, we're a New Testament church. We're under a better covenant. We don't have to do that. But it says in verse 6, that I, the Lord, do not change. Did he change? Same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. The whole point of the Bible is to point us towards Jesus, beginning in Genesis 1, all the way to the end. Well, God was talking about you're supposed to bring food. Just food. You just bring food. Well, no. Yeah, back in that day, that's how they traded. That's how a lot of them bartered. Traded food amongst each other, brought food and stuff to the priest. And I know Pastor Mark, he likes to find little veggies on the porch every now and then. I seen a picture on Facebook where he got some delivered the other day. Good for him. I'm ready for him to be back so I can give him trouble face to face. The tithe can be given anywhere. No, it can't. The tithe is for the home church. It's for your house where you call home. And this is one of the best ones I've ever heard in my life. I just tithe my time. Try that. Tell me how you figure up 10% of your life. You don't know the days that you have numbered. Only God knows that. But I heard a lady say one time, I just tithe my time. That's what my tithe is. But, you know, the tithe is our first fruits. It's 10% of the first fruit. The first thing you do when you get, if you get a paycheck, you give 10%. That's the first thing you do. So let's just look at that and in time. And we'll make it simple. Say you live 70 years. Now let's say 80. I don't know why 80. What's 10% of 80? 8. So you got to give 8 years as a tithe. And that has to be the first 8 years. How many of you, when you were 0 to 8, thought about serving God in the church? It's impossible. You can't tithe your time. But the truth is, the tithe is a blessing. Spiritually, mentally, physically, and yes, at times it will even be financially. God will make a way. Amen? Our trust comes down to us overcoming our mind. So how do we get over this uncomfortable trust? Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. Speak these words constantly. They will help to build your faith and trust in God. Do not let the uncomfortableness of what God is asking you, to do, keep you from receiving God's best for you. The battles we face as Christians begin in the mind. Your life will always move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. So knowing the truth of what God says about you is of utmost importance. Trusting Him when He speaks to you, even though it makes you uncomfortable, is of equal importance. Your future needs you. Your past does not. Trust God. Amen. It's time for us to step out. Like I said, the world needs Christians stepping out of their comfort zone. I talked about the movie Sound of Freedom, and I don't know, did you stay and watch Jim Caviezel's message at the end? Tell me if I'm wrong, because I swear I saw this on there, that the number one consumer of child pornography, amongst and other things, the number one consumer in the world is the United States. That's just sickening. You know, I remember a time when a certain president said we were no longer a Christian nation. And after reading that the other day, I have to think, is that true? Have we fallen that far off the pedestal, the deep end, that we're the number one consumer of that kind of stuff? They say it's a $150 billion industry and growing every year. It just blows my mind. we're going to have to stand up and speak up and not be afraid. Amen. It's time for us to get out of our comfort zone as a people, as the church. And what's sad is you read a lot of things about people in the church who are doing the same thing, who are part of that. And it makes it harder for those of us who want to do it right. Everybody in here I know wants to do it the right way. Live right, live for God, trust God, be comforted in our relationship with Him, follow Him, you know. So, but it's time for us to stand up somehow or another. We've got to stand up, take a stand against that kind of thing. It's just, it blows my mind with the resources that this nation has that 850,000 children a year can go missing. I seen a deal on that the other day, and a news organization come in and fact checked it and said that's false. His number's not near that high. The next thing would blow it was an article from the FBI stating the exact same thing that I just told you. 850,000 kids a year go missing, and I don't understand why with the resources that this country has, it shouldn't happen. And then the things that happen to those kids shouldn't happen. We got to get stronger in our prayer life on praying about that and those kind of things. And when the time comes, if the opportunity arises, we got to be able to speak up against it. Amen. Amen. If you would, bow your head with me this morning. You know, I always like to end with this. These are the words of Billy Graham. If you don't know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. Amen. This is what he said. Salvation is free. God puts no price tag on the gift of gift. It is free. Preachers are not salesmen, for they have nothing to sell. They are bearers of good news, the good tidings that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Money cannot buy it. Man's righteousness cannot earn it. Social prestige cannot help you acquire it. Morality cannot purchase it. It is, as Isaiah said, without money and without price. God is not a bargaining God. You cannot barter with Him. You must do business with Him on His own terms. He holds in His omnipotent hand the priceless, precious, eternal gift of salvation. And He bids you to take it without money and without price. The best things in life are free, are they not? The air we breathe is not sold by the cubic foot. The water which flows crystal clear from the mountain stream is free for the taking. Love is free, faith is free, and hope is free. Romans 10:8-13 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as confessing with your mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. And Lord, I believe in my heart that you raised Him from the dead. If you say that, you shall be saved. Make sure your family knows. Amen. And your friends and your neighbors. That's how we're going to change the world. Father, I thank you for this day and opportunity to share your word. I pray that it honored you, blessed you, and encouraged those gathered here today, that it didn't make them uncomfortable. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would stand with me, I want to close with the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great and blessed week.